Cousin Thomas, she purred. Still noble and starving, I see. Madeline, Thomas replied, a small smile showing white, perfect teeth. Still undisciplined and blatant, I see. Madeline Wraith's mouth and eyes reacted in completely different ways to my half-brother's remark. Her smile widened into a beauty pageant expression, wide and immobile, but her eyes narrowed and went completely white, the pale blue vanishing from her irises. She looked from Thomas to Justine. "Laura's little pet mortal," Madeline said. "I wondered where you were running off to. Now I find you meeting with your old flame and," her eyes slid to me, "the enemy." "Don't be ridiculous," Justine replied. Though her voice was calm, her cheeks were bright pink, her eyes dilated. "I came to go over the books the way I do every week." "But this time you wore perfume," Madeline said, "and a rather provocative ensemble. Not that you don't do it justice, darling. I find it," her tongue touched her upper lip, "interesting." "Madeline," Thomas said in a tone of exaggerated patience, "please go away." "I have every right to be here," she murmured. It didn't seem right that she should be able to keep her voice so maddeningly soft and sensual over the beat of the club's music. She turned to me and took a few steps my way with her full attention on me. I suddenly felt like a teenager, a little bit afraid, a whole lot excited, and filled with so many hormones demanding so many inexplicable things that I nearly lost the ability to focus my eyes. She stopped just out of the reach of my hand. "Don't mind my cousin's horrible manners. The infamous Harry Dresden hardly needs an introduction." She looked me up and down and twined a finger through a tendril of dark hair. "How could I come to Chicago so many times without meeting you?" "But I've seen you," I said. My voice was a little rough, but it worked. "Oh," she asked, the sexy smile widening. "Are you the sort who likes to watch, Harry?" "You betcha," I said. And that time I was watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Her smile faltered a fraction. "You are Jessica Rabbit, right?" I asked, all slinky and overblown and obvious. The smile vanished. "Because I know I've seen you somewhere, and gosh, I'll be embarrassed if it turns out that you were the evil princess from Buck Rogers instead." "What?" she said. "Buck what?" I gave her my best forced smile. "Hey, don't get me wrong. You do that ensemble justice, but you're trying too hard." I leaned a little closer and fake whispered, "Laura does more for me just sitting in a chair than you did with your whole entrance." Madeline Wraith became as still and cold as a statue of a furious goddess, and the air temperature around us dropped several degrees. I suddenly sensed Thomas's presence beside me, and found my brother had leaned back against the railing on his elbows, his hands loose and relaxed. He was standing just a tiny bit closer to Madeline than I was. "Madeline," he said in the precise same tone he'd used a moment before, "go away before I beat you to death with my bare hands." Madeline jerked her head back as if Thomas had slapped her. "What? You heard me," he said calmly. "It isn't quite cricket as family squabbles go, I know, but I'm tired. I don't give a fuck what you or anyone else in the house thinks of me, and I don't respect you enough to play games with you, even if I was in the mood."
"How dare you?" Madeline snarled. "How dare you threaten me? Laura will have the skin flayed from your body for this."
"Oh," Thomas gave her a wintry smile. "After what you projected at the wizard, he'd be well within his rights to burn you right down to your overpriced shoes."
"I never!"
"And despite the orders handed down from the king," Thomas said, shaking his head. "Laura's getting tired of cleaning up after you, Mad. She'd probably buy me a new set of steak knives if I found a way to make her life a bit less trying." Madeline laughed. It reminded me of glass breaking.
And do you think she loves you any better, cousin mine? You refuse to appear with the house at meetings of the court and spend your time among the kine, grooming them and bringing shame upon your family. At least tell me you are planning to take the beasts to some sort of auction.
You aren't capable of understanding why I do what I do, Thomas said.
Who would want to? She retorted. You're as much a degenerate as any of those fools in Scabus and Malvora.